Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio, and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Oh, fellow foodies, I got one thing to say to you. If you are a fan of Indian cuisine, you are going to wish that you were sitting next to me right here and right now, because I am broadcasting live from the epicenter of authenticity when it comes to Indian cuisine. We are broadcasting live from New Delhi Palace, Cuisine of India, on Broadway, just between Cold and Wilmot on the north side of the street. Our good friends, the Parrick family, have rolled out the red carpet for us, and they are going to be treating us to a snapshot of Indian cuisine and cocktails. Come on out here and join the party. And speaking of party, our next celebrity co-host here for the full hour certainly knows her way around a party, because wherever she goes, the party follows. She is the well-fed foodie on Facebook herself. Put your hands together for the honorable Rita Conley is back.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's really great. I love being on the show. It's a fast hour that I ever lived.
Oh, I know. We need to, this needs to be a two-hour show.
There you go. I agree. I'll vote for that.
Especially when you take a look around. I mean, here we are in the dining room of New Delhi Palace, and I mean, I feel like our palates have been transported to New Delhi.
It's absolutely beautiful in here. Beautiful murals all over the walls, and it's all the tables are nicely appointed, and it's just beautiful.
I mean, even
here,
the music. I mean, you have this wonderful Indian soundtrack playing.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, save the airfare. Come over to New Delhi Palace.
There you go.
You don't need to go to India.
No.
All right, anyway. Well, you know, you've been busy these
days. I have been.
Before we get to, you know, your latest news on a new book project, fill us in on what's going on in the food and beverage scene. What are you liking these days this time of year?
I have to tell you, yesterday I ate at Teaspoon for the first time, which I was very impressed with. It was a nice breakfast place, something a little different than most. A couple days before that, I ate at Jenny Gibson's for the first time, and again, I was impressed. All I had was a pork tenderloin sandwich, but it was so good, and it was beautiful to look at. And then, you know, I did, you know, on my usual haunts that I always go to, but there's going to be a lot of neat, great summer stuff going on in town here, you know?
I tell you what, people, you know, moan and groan about the summertime in Tucson. I love summertime
in Tucson.
It's
my favorite time, too.
And one of the reasons why I love it is because, you know, you don't have to stand in line for a half an hour to get a table, you know? And the rest of your tour is the local, independent, family-owned restaurants. They care so deeply that when you come in, they just want to make you a part of that family atmosphere that they've created.
Exactly.
I love summertime in Tucson.
Exactly. I do, too. And you can get some really good deals. They have great deals going on, you know? And in Tucson, you can travel all over the world by going out to dinner in Tucson. You can go to all over the United States and traveling into eating in Tucson.
Exactly.
And even all over Italy, you know. So it's really beautiful how the different restaurants, what they do to bring people in, and then they give you such great food. It's just wonderful.
And a case, great memorable experiences, wonderful flavors, wonderful taste, great service, great ambiance.
Yeah.
Another reason why I love New Delhi Palace. You know what? It would be a disservice to our listeners if we did not hoist a cocktail in celebration of the Indian. You know, I want to know how they imbibe in India.
I wonder what this is there a toast in India that you say?
Yeah. Is there? What's our salutation? What do we say? Is there a salutation? You know, what is it?
Chai ho.
Okay, so I have selected for this moment the snake charmer with rum, mango, coconut, pineapple juice. What are you doing? You're doing
I'm doing the Bollywood buzz, and it's really great. It's got a great. This could be dangerous.
Another anchored with rum, a little blue curacao, lemon, coconut juice. Perfect time of year to have these great refreshing cocktails.
Sure, definitely. They're beautiful, and they're go down a little bit too easy, I think.
Yeah, really. Is that your third now?
That's
so anyway,
all
of our listeners know you are the author of The Lost Restaurants of Tucson, a great book that I absolutely loved.
Thank you. Every page,
really chronicling the stories of some of the best Tucson restaurants that are no longer, unfortunately, open. And it was such a hit. It made such a huge boom on the Tucson literary scene. Your group has come back to you, and they've given you another book deal.
They've given me another book deal, which is really great. And this one is called The Historic Restaurants of Tucson. So it's going to cover all those restaurants that are still open. New Delhi Palace was one of them, because I started in 1922. That's El Charro. And I kind of worked my way to 1997, 1998. That's 20 years that a place has been open. And people say, oh, there can't be very many restaurants open, are there? And it's, there's not room for all the restaurants that are still open in town.
Yeah, it's going to be like a three-part series.
Well, I know. I'm going to have to add an addendum or something, because it's so amazing how many restaurants there still are around.
And it says so much about a restaurant, especially in this incredibly competitive space.
Right.
It says so much about a restaurant that it can stay open for decades, still remain real and relevant to their clientele.
And a lot of them are still the same families, you know. The other day I was talking to El Menudo, Teresa Sashar over El Menudo.
Yes.
And they're working on their fourth generation. Her kids aren't getting into it, so that's a fourth generation. And, you know, it's just amazing. And the stories that I love it, because I learned so many neat stories about neat people, you know. Things you know, you think you know the El Charro story, but you don't know the El Charro story. And, no, I mean, there's so many little things like that I love. The research is lots of fun. Pictures are still hard to get, so if anybody's out there that has any old menus or any old pictures of restaurants, private message me on Facebook, and we can see what we can do, because pictures are still really hard to come by for some reason.
And I remember in Lost Restaurants of Tucson, the pictures really helped to tell the story.
Old matchbooks,
old menus,
right, exactly.
That was so much part of the lore.
Oh yeah, and I love menus. I'm a real sap for menus. I maybe it's the writer in me. I know many years ago that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a menu writer. Very foolish at the time, but they're beautiful. They tell a story. They tell a history of Tucson. They tell the history of how we eat. They tell the history of the restaurant. They're beautiful, and sometimes they're like hand illustrated, and I love them. I really, really do, and I'm trying to start a collection. I think things are going to be another project that might be happening in the next year or so. I'm trying to collect old menus, It's I love them. There's just something great about them, you know, how people used to eat. And the prices are just, like, mind-boggling, you know. When you get a T-bone steak for $2.95, it's like, wow, what? I don't think I remember that even, you know.
Yeah, you go over to Jonathan's Cork, and he actually has the original. Remember, it used to be the Cork and Cleaver.
Cork and Cleaver.
And the menus were literally printed or etched onto cleavers, and he has them nailed to the wall.
Well, I'm going to have to get over there and take a picture.
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, prime rib, baked potato salad, everything for, like,
$3.50. Yeah.
We're talking to Rita Connolly. She is the Well-Fed Foodie on Facebook. She's also the host of the Lost Restaurants of Tucson, the author of Lost Restaurants of Tucson, and also the author of the upcoming book, The Historic Restaurants of Tucson. Now, when can we expect this book to roll off the press?
Well, they have given me, they said probably after the first of the year. But with the last book, I had a deadline, had the same deadline, August 15th. And then they got a hold of me and they said, well, how far along are you? Can you get it in by the 1st? And then if we do, we can get it out by Christmas. So I'm kind of hoping they'll do that again, because it's a great Christmas present. It's a great, also it'll be a great way to end the year, you know, as opposed to having that hanging over my head into the new year. But it's a great present, you know, and they're reasonably priced, you know, $22.
And a steal.
And you can get them all over town. You can get, again, if you want one, I have some at home. You can private message me. But you can get them at Antigone's, and you can get them at Mostly Books, and Amazon.com still has them. And I'm amazed at how much positive feedback I'm still getting from the book.
Do yourself a favor. Go get this book. Warning, though, when you sit down and open up, you're going to spend 3 hours learning all about it and refamiliarizing yourself with some of these great restaurants.
Right.
Anyway, Rita Connolly, we have to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be hearing from our good friend Luke Annable down at the Good Oak Bar, because we are coming up to the end of Arizona Rosé Week. We're going to be hearing what they have going on this weekend. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries, topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy, paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of India. Actually, yes, we're at New Delhi Palace, Cuisine of India on Broadway, just between Colbert and Wilmot on the north side of the street, having a great time with our celebrity co-host, the well-fed foodie herself on Facebook,
Oops.
Rita Conley.
Hey, Matt.
Sucking down that Bollywood buzz like a pro.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. It's a great summer drink.
It really is. I mean, seasonally inspired. And again, we're going to be talking to Yatin Parikh. He's going to be talking about how they imbibe in India,
okay,
just on the other side of this segment. But we are coming up on the end of Arizona Rosé Week.
Okay.
One of our favorite wines this time of year.
Okay.
And we're going to go right to the source because our friends down at the Good Oak Bar downtown have been celebrating all week the wonderful story about rosé, and the manager is on the phone with us right now, the Good Oak Bar manager, our friend Luke Annable. Luke, how are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I've got Indian cocktails surrounding me, and we've got some great Indian cuisine coming.
Ooh.
I mean, how do you think I am, Luke?
Sounds perfect.
Well, let me say, you know, it's been a long time since you've been on the show, and I know you guys have been super busy downtown at the Good Oak Bar, but you've been celebrating rosé all week long. What's been going on down there?
We have. We've had a different Arizona winemaker in every night for 2 to 3 hours. We have, I think it's 9 Arizona rosés available by the glass this week, and the winemakers are pulling special bottles kind of from their private collection and pouring those as samples. So every night we have the 9 rosés available, but depending on what night you're there, a winemaker might have an older vintage that they think is holding up really well, or some of them haven't bottled or labeled their 2016. So they've brought us some samples of those for people to try, and it's been really exciting to have vertical tastings and horizontal tastings in the rosé category.
And it sounds like, I mean, the whole spirit here, Luke, is celebrating Arizona winemakers, right? I mean, is that the common thread that weaves its way through this whole rosé story this week?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And you've been doing it every night this week. Tonight you've got a great thing happening, and then Sunday, tomorrow, is the last day of the celebration. What's in store tonight at Good Oak Bar?
So tonight, Chris Pothier from Chateau Tumbleweed and her husband, Joe Betchard, will be down. They're fantastic. They're in Verde Valley, so they don't get down here as often as some of our Sonoyta and Wilcox winemakers. But we love them, and we kind of go way back with them, so we're really excited to have them both. Pretty innovative winemakers. They do a rosé with majority Barbera, which is really interesting. It always stands out in the flights. And then tomorrow, we have Greg Gonerman from Laramita Cellars, which is a brand-new Arizona winery. It was recommended us by Sandreckner, Rob at Sandreckner actually helped Greg put together his first rosé, and it's been going over very well. It's a rosé of Mourvèdre, so it's kind of a wild, kind of has a wild, gamey side to it, which is pretty exciting.
You know, that's one of the things I love. I mean, there's been this renaissance in rosé. I mean, 20 years ago, I got to admit, Luke, I wasn't drinking a whole lot of rosés.
No.
But now, you know, there's some amazing, you know, on-point rosés. And when you're talking about gamey as a flavor profile coming out of a wine like rosé, I mean, that is just another manifestation of the fact that this is a serious wine that people should sort of try again if they you know, chalked it up as not something they didn't like 20 years ago. There's some amazing rosés.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself. We hope this gives people a chance not only to taste the tremendous amount of diversity in this category, but also the amount of sort of pedigree that you can find there now. And it really is a great opportunity to see all of these wines side by side and to see that winemakers are really interested in making unique wines, whereas 20 years ago, everyone made the exact same rosé, and that rosé was not exciting wine.
Yeah, exactly. So how does it work then? Tonight and then again tomorrow, you can do by the glass, you can do flight. I mean, you mentioned you had 9 selections at the event last night. I mean, is there a flight of 9 rosés that literally is going to be put before us?
So I think this might speak to my management style, but there are 9 rosés, and the most you can have on a flight are 8.
Okay, yes, this segment brought to you by Uber.
Not one in.
Yeah.
At the last second. But yeah, you can have a flight of 4, you can have a flight of 8. We are doing a rosé cocktail, just a really simple rosé spritzer with a little cardamom hibiscus, just as a sort of palate cleanser.
With a little cardamom hibiscus. Now, you can't just say that and move on. I got to bring you back. I mean, cardamom is, you know, one of the great flavors here of India. What a great coincidence.
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine that pairing a rosé wine with some great authentic Indian cuisine sounds like a natural match.
It does.
I think so, too. Yes, rosé, when rosé has an herbal and spice element, I think it really shines. Cardamom has a little menthol to it. And so I think it pairs with that sort of mintiness that great rosé can have.
Absolutely love it. We're talking to Luke Annable. He is the manager at the Good Oak Bar downtown. Again, we are coming up to the end of Arizona Rosé Week. He's got a special rosé event tonight. It's happening again tomorrow. 2 separate Arizona winemakers are going to be there talking about why they love rosé. Again, this is a wonderful wine to enjoy really all year round, but when spring starts flirting with summer, this is really the time to crack open a bottle of rosé and just get to know this wine all over again, because these men and women in the wine country work so hard. And they have such a great passion for the grape, and they help to tell the story. Again, Luke Annable down at the Good Oak Bar. Luke, remind all of our listeners exactly where you're located downtown.
316 East Congress, which is right next to the Rialto, in between the Rialto Cedar and Diablo Burger on Congress.
That's right.
Downtown.
Okay.
Absolutely. Anyway, Luke, I want to thank you so much for everything that you have done to keep us libated lovingly in this community for so many years. As you know, I've been a fan of your work for a long time, and I know that our listeners are going to enjoy raising a glass of rosé with you again as we finish out Arizona Rosé Week tomorrow night. Anyway, Luke, thanks for everything. Keep it up, and I hope to see you soon, brother.
Cheers. Thank you so much.
Right on. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, the master mixologist and proprietor himself at New Delhi Palace, our friend Yatin Parikh, is in the house. He's going to be talking about how they imbibe in India with style. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I've always said that food should make you feel good. It should cater to your comfort and anchor the very moments that memories are made of. So why not make some memories tonight at Tucson's Comfort Table, Commoner & Co. The story begins with a bounty from behind the bar, with specialty cocktails, local and regional craft beers, and super fun wines that you may not have seen anywhere else. Then it's the cuisine that takes center stage, with the freshest ingredients from the land and sea that weave their way through a seasonally inspired menu. Feeling comfy yet? Bring it all together with an atmosphere that's built around community, around conviviality, and yes, around comfort. And you've experienced what a memorable meal is all about. Happy hour is 7 days a week, with dinner served nightly and a neighborhood brunch on Sundays. And the comfort is always complimentary, of course, at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. and then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, thank you for tuning in like you do every Saturday at 5 o'clock. It is Matt Russell, and we are broadcasting live from New Delhi Palace. The cuisine of India is manifest right before your very eyes and your very palate here on Broadway, just between Kolb and Wilmot on the north side of the street here with our celebrity co-host. Of course, she's the well-fed foodie on Facebook. Go follow her. Go like her. Go stalk her. Go do everything. Rita Conley is back with us.
Hello, hello, hello.
We are just being refreshed in style.
We are.
With great cocktails, and when you come to New Delhi Palace, there is no mystery why the very first thing you see is the bar. So you know that the cocktail, the libation, is just as important as the cuisine, and here to get us all excited about what's happening behind the bar, our good friend Yatin Parikh is in the house! Look at all these fans of yours, Yatin!
Hey, Matt, how's everybody doing?
We're doing great. Well, you know what? They're drinking snake charmers, man. What? How do you expect them
all
to respond?
Right.
How's the snake charmer?
So we're starting this this segment here, you know, with this cocktail menu. And you take a look at what you have put together, and you're seeing things like rum and coconut and pineapple juice. Mango seems to be, and we're going to be talking about that on the cuisine side as well, but mango plays a very important role in the story of Indian cuisine and cocktails, right?
Yeah, mango is, Matt, actually, it's the national fruit of India.
The national fruit.
Yeah, cool. And it's used in a lot of not only drinks but also food and you know, desserts and stuff like that. Mm. So that's why we have a lot of our cocktails that have mango in it, and that actually is our version of the mango colada. That
Mango colada. Yeah. So if you have this idea, this image of the pina colada, you know, you throw some mango in there, you give it that little Yatin twist.
Right.
Can you stand up and do the Yatin twist for us? I've seen you do it before.
Yeah. Well, it's like 10, 12 years back. I still remember that talk we had in your old place.
Oh, I remember. We've had many of those talks, haven't we? Yeah, but the cocktail scene here is on point, but also the Indian beer is, again, when you come into New Delhi Palace, you know, I've tasted through the cocktail spectrum, but the beer is also a very important part of the story here as well, right?
Yeah, we have, actually, we have three Indian beers that we serve here, the Kingfisher. We have Kingfisher, Taj Mahal, and Flying Horse. And actually, the Flying Horse, we have to source it through Phoenix because none of the vendors in Tucson have.
You're the only one in Tucson,
right,
where you can get the Flying Horse beer.
Right.
Now, is that sort of India's version of the craft beer? I mean, or is this a, you know, how does that fit? How does that particular beer fit in the spectrum? Is it light? Is it dark? Is it sort of right in the middle?
They are light and lager beers, mm-hmm. and they have a. All three beers have a little difference in taste, but they're all light, they're all lager. Mm-hmm. And the most popular of the three beers is, I would say, the Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal, okay. Yeah. Even more so than the Kingfisher.
Okay.
More so than the Kingfisher. Well, Kingfisher and Taj Mahal, I would, pretty comparable. Also because of the size. The Taj Mahal comes in a big 24-ounce bottle.
Oh, and the, okay. Well, there explains that.
Goes through the whole meal. Lasts through the whole meal then, right?
Right.
Now, is there like a Taj Mahal, Kingfisher, like a group? I mean, is there a competition between people that love those two beers? Is it like a Bud and a Miller sort of a thing? I mean, is it you know, can people that drink Taj Mahal and people that drink Kingfisher, can they get along in life, or do they care so deeply about their beers?
Yeah, it's not that dramatic as you make it sound, but there are a lot of my guests that, you know, will stick to the Taj Mahal.
Right. But the idea here, the spirit here, is really about world peace.
Right.
We want to get rid of conflict. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of beer. Celebrate the flavors of India, no matter what beer you drink. Right.
Absolutely. When we were here for dinner about 2 weeks ago, my wife Nancy and I and some friends obviously came here and had a chance to sit down with you and your beautiful wife Novel. You were talking about your teas here as well. And again, tea is a very important part of the experience here at New Delhi Palace.
Right. And Matt, we have a special Ayurveda tea menu. Ayurveda is actually a science of life. And, you know, the Ayurveda tea menus that we have, we source the herbs out from India and they come directly to, and then we blend it, you know, ourselves. And then that's the menu that we have. They have like 5 teas out here, and one of them is Varanasi Secret, one of them is Silence, and Ayurveda Energy. And these teas actually, they're just a blend of different herbs and spices. And they're all therapeutic, you know. Say something like a silence tea, if you know, look at the menu, it takes care of stuff like stress, nervousness, you know. And it's just very nice to have a cup of Ayurveda tea after a meal.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. And that's consistent with Ayurvedic medicine, of course, the natural medical practice in India from generations ago. And sometimes, you know, you go to India, you go see the doctor, the Ayurvedic doctor, and he or she sometimes are going to prescribe tea for whatever is ailing you.
Right, exactly. And it's, I mean, there are a lot of families in India that, you know, live this lifestyle. And as far as they don't believe in the modern medicine, they'll use these herbs and spices to deal with the, you know, normal imbalances in life and treat their problems, medical problems.
And I think that that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to the wisdom of nature, because wisdom, the nature is medicine. And when you talk about sourcing these herbs and actually doing your own blends here in-house, you yourself, now are you a licensed healthcare provider, Jan?
I wish.
Anyway, we're actually going to continue this conversation into the next segment, because when you're thinking about Indian cuisine, there are so many health benefits associated with Indian cuisine. But anyway, Jan, thank you so much for taking your time to host us today, and we are going to talk to you here on the other side of this break. We're going to take a quick news break, and thanks to sponsors, Rita, and when we come back, we are going to be rolling up our sleeves and preparing our palates to be transported to India in this live broadcast from New Delhi Palace. Stick around, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family-owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tankaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from New Delhi Palace. Of course, the cuisine and cocktails and culture and color of India. And it's on Broadway just between Kolb and Wilmot on the north side of the street here with Rita Conley about to sink our teeth.
I can't wait.
Into Indian food. Before we move any further, I would be remiss if I did not thank all of the sponsors that work very hard in this community. This show simply would not be coming to you live every Saturday at 5 o'clock, celebrating the local spirit of food and beverages here in Tucson. So please go say hello to our sponsors. Frequent them often. Spend money with them. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Tucson Originals, Tucson Foodie, Tino's Pizza, Jerry's Cigars, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, and Russell Public Communications. Support them and let them know how much you love what they do to celebrate the local food and beverage story here
in
Tucson.
That's a great list.
It is a great list. And there are several names. If you ever hear that this show was broadcast live at Claim Jumper, I want you to go and find me and pull me away.
All right.
We will not be at Kentucky Fried Chicken, I can promise you. Now, here come the texts. Oh, great. Here's the ad agency for the... anyway, well, there's one thing you're not going to find on the menu at New Delhi Palace is Kentucky Fried Chicken, because this is real food, Rita.
When we're thinking about its
fragrance, its presentation, right, its color, its story... And we're back here with Yatin Parikh, who will continue to tell us the wonderful story about Indian cuisine. And it's just as fascinating, Yatin, as the cocktail side, because look, there's vibrant colors plated beautifully and intentionally. And of course, you can smell what's happening in the back of the house before you even open the front door. I mean, you get this all surround sound, or should I say surround smell, experience, the fragrance of Indian cuisine. That's why I just love it so much.
Yeah.
They say, okay, well, it's simple, but it's profound in its simplicity, because there's a lot going on, some wonderful flavors working together.
Well, it's always, after I've had an Indian meal, I always think about it for days afterwards. You know what I mean? You just, the flavors kind of linger in your mind and on your palate, and it's just an amazing... I mean, I should do it more. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful food.
It really is. It's wonderful food. And I'm curious, Yatin, I mean, when you think about Indian cuisine, now, India, pretty big place, are there regional interpretations of the food? I mean, like in the United States, barbecue has its geography.
Right.
Seafood has its geography. Does the flavors of Indian cuisine change as you're traveling throughout
India? Yes, it does, actually, Matt. India is a big country, right? It's very diverse.
Right.
The most popular region as far as food goes in, I would say, North America, or for that matter, even the rest of the world, is mainly north of India.
Yeah.
Because north of India has most of the flavors and the spices and the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're just a lot of them. So that's why that region has... that the cuisine from that region is most popular. But all over India, like south of India and the east, the west, they have not those many herbs and spices that they use in the cuisine, but they have a lot of good dishes. Mm. And they are equally very flavorful, and they're really tasty as well.
Mm. Now, when you're looking at the menu here at New Delhi Palace, would you say that it is primarily kind of a northern-influenced menu, or do you really scan the landscape across India to pick different flavors and traditions and customs across the entire country?
Well, what we try to do in New Delhi Palace is we have our menu is typically divided into, let's say, three parts. One is we do have the traditional stuff like, the tandoori dishes,
right,
the curries, and all the entrees that you get in North India. Then the other part that we have is the regional part, that we have an entree which comes from the east, which is called the Dal Malai prawns.
Mm.
That has all the herbs and spices, that are typically used in metropolitan cities like Calcutta and the east of India.
I see.
We have something... Peshawari lamb chops, which is Peshawar actually is a region in Pakistan. So, but there is a lot of influence from Pakistan in the north. So we have the lamb chops, which have the spices typically from the northwestern frontier, Beautiful. That part of India.
Beautiful.
And then, so these are examples of, you know, our dishes. The vindaloo.
Yes.
You know, Matt, you love the vindaloo.
Oh, I love the vindaloo.
Yeah, so vindaloo.
And it loves me, Jan. Yeah.
The vindaloo is actually from Goa, which is from the western part of India. You know, it's coastal. So, you know, Goa, again, the Portuguese influence that came to Goa. So vindaloo is actually a Portuguese dish.
So it's almost like a fusion. You're drawing these flavors and traditions from around that part of the world.
Right.
And you're bringing them together, again, as authenticity, as India, as the anchor. The anchor is the Indian tradition. But you're bringing in some flavors from other regions around that. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, and so that takes care of, you know, the regional part. And then the last part is, you know, the innovative part where it's a little modern, where we try to, you know, innovate on dishes, giving it an Indian twist. Like one of our desserts, it's chocolate samosas, you know, where we have samosas that
Yes, Rita. You know. He said it. He said chocolate samosa.
And chai flan, you know. So you know what flan is?
Yeah, of course, the custard.
Yeah. And we use chai spice, which is a blend of, you know, 3-4 different herbs and spices, and we infuse that into the flan. So that's the modern part, and you know, that's the innovative part, which actually my wife now takes care of.
And she takes care of it with love, right, and with and intention. Now, when you're thinking about the range of herbs and spices that go into a dish, I mean, you know, one of the dishes you and I were talking about a couple of years ago, I literally lost count how many herbs and spices you were putting in a dish. But you're doing all of that in a fully scratch kitchen.
Yeah.
You don't buy from McCormick the 22 herb blend for your dish. You're bringing it all in fresh. And did I hear you say a couple of weeks ago, your yogurt? Now, you could go buy yogurt, Yatin. You don't buy yogurt. You make your yogurt.
Matt, nothing in this restaurant comes out of a box or a can.
It's unbelievable. I mean, yogurt, Rita. You just go and get yogurt. And then, of course, you can bring it all together. But, you know, that's an easy corner to cut. Yatin Perik says no.
Because you must use a lot of yogurt, huh?
Yeah, we use a lot of yogurt in our cooking as well as in some of our drinks.
Okay.
We have a whole lassi bar that lassi is basically yogurt.
Oh, I love lassi,
blends.
The mango lassi.
The mango lassi.
So you actually have a lassi bar.
Yeah. We have like 4 or 5 different lassis. We have a almond cinnamon lassi. We have a mango lassi. We have a roast coconut lassi.
We're going to have to come back.
And the yogurt all house made. And that's an exacting process. I mean, it really is. I mean, for me, I'm a little intimidated. It's just another day at the office for you and Novel, I'm sure, and your incredible culinary team. But also, didn't you say you're also doing your own cheese?
Yeah, we even our paneer, which is basically cottage cheese, we make it from scratch.
Wow.
So it's made from milk and then the whole process and then. So, yeah, everything out here, because even our garam masala, we do not get ready-made garam masala. We have all the whole spices that come from India, that we source out from India, and then we grind them and we make our own garam masala, which is a blend.
My mouth is watering. So. Did you say you get all of your herbs and spices come from India?
Yeah, the Indian herbs and spices, they come from directly from India through we have one of our distributors in LA. So.
Oh my gosh, it's just
isn't
you know
wonderful.
And there's no mystery. I mean, again, authenticity is the anchor for what you're doing. And you know, as I said, it could be a lot easier for you to just go buy this stuff, but you find it, you go to the source. You work hard in the kitchen to make sure that your guest is going to get something. Look, this is the way they prepare the food in India. So why should it be any different here in Delhi Palace?
Right. And, you know, Matt, one of the main things we concentrate on is the health aspect. Even our buffet. Look, it's very easy to make a meal spicy, a meal, you know, overthrow a lot of herbs and spices and make it, like, you know, really pungent.
Right.
But what we try to do here is we try to create a balance. So when you take a bite out of any entree, you'll be able to feel all the individual herbs and spices on your taste buds. Mm. It just won't be a mass blow of, you know,
right, exactly.
Heat or, you know, pungentness or ginger or garlic,
right?
You know, which actually is followed a lot in India, with oil and a lot of oil,
right.
And a lot of pungent herbs and spices. Here we keep it very fresh. We keep it low-key, and we try to create a healthy balance. Like, for instance, even our buffet, if you come, it is not spicy, but it's very flavorful, and it's balanced.
So there is a difference between spice and spicy.
Right. I agree. I think that's really wonderful that you keep that going.
Right.
And I get this sense almost like a compound pharmacist would do, right? They would take different different properties and bring it all together for a health benefit. You're kind of doing the same thing, because as we talked about with the Ayurvedic teas, tea is prescribed in India for, anxiety, insomnia, whatever the ailment is. The same idea holds true with herbs and spices that you use in your food. There are medicinal properties for that cuisine as well.
Right.
So, come to New Delhi Palace and you'll never see a doctor again.
All right. All right, let's go.
So, I love the story that your food tells. And actually, this would be a nice time to kind of talk a little bit about what you brought for us to try today. So, you brought out a couple of dishes for us. Of course, all these photos are going to be up on our Facebook page, on our Instagram gallery, on Twitter, all across social media. So, one of the things that our listeners tell me most is they love the tasting segment. They love to see the food that they hear us talk about. And again, you don't have to go on my Facebook page to see the food. You can come into New Delhi Palace and try it for yourselves. So, Yatin, talk a little bit about what you brought out for us to try.
So, this is the tandoori lobster tails. They're
tandoori lobster tails.
So, the way we
make
it is these are 2 4-ounce wild and flat Atlantic lobster tails that we marinate and grill it in the tandoori oven, and then it's made in a creamy sauce with saffron.
Oh, absolutely.
Fenugreek and nutmeg.
Nutmeg, saffron, fennel. Rita, get in on that. Okay, again, beautiful. The colors are beautiful. The saffron is just that little kiss. I can tell right on the nose. Okay. I'm getting that saffron. It's just sort of just popping right up. Now, I see you have brought out a lovely lobster pick. I'd just like to pick up my tail and eat it right on. Would I be violating New Delhi Palace protocol
if I
were not to use the pick?
And actually, you're doing it Indian style.
Okay, I was hoping you'd say that. All right, so again, tandoori lobster tails, a little cream, some saffron, a little bit of some fennel, curry. We're going in. All right, Rita.
Okay, I'm ready.
Talk. Have you gone in yet?
No, I'm
right.
Digging in.
Okay, so talk a little bit, because I can't eat and talk at the same time,
right.
So talk about the oven. You talked about that tandoor oven.
Right.
That really is a prominent fixture in the kitchen here at New Delhi Palace, right?
Yeah, it's the tandoori oven is made out of clay from the inside, and it's fired up with. We fire it up with charcoal. Normally, most restaurants will fire it up with gas, and still use the clay oven because now they have the modernized version of the tandoori. But we still use the ancient method of using charcoal and then firing it up, because that just adds a lot of flavor to the tandoori dishes and the naan breads that are made in the tandoori oven.
Yeah, and I love that it's got a nice little char on that on the shell on the lobster tail, so you know that it's coming
wow.
After a lot of heat. I love the way the flavors play together in this particular dish. So you're getting that richness of the cream.
Right.
You're getting that earthiness, from that saffron. The sweetness of the lobster. I mean, this is incredibly sweet meat. But you have not adorned this with this sauce in a way that compromises the native flavor of that lobster. So
right.
Balance is really hitting on all cylinders here.
Well, it's a heat, but it's not like a
right.
burn your mouth. I can't taste anything else,
Now, I'm going to take a little bit of this garlic naan. Now, of course, there's naan and there's naan. Yeah, you actually have more than one. You got like 2 or 3 different kinds of naan here at New Delhi Palace,
yeah.
Right?
Actually, we have a bunch of them. We have the garlic. We have a Kashmiri naan, which is stuffed with cashews, coconut, raisins.
Mm.
And we have a keema naan, which is stuffed with spiced minced lamb. And we have an onion kulcha, which is stuffed with onions. Cilantro and a few different herbs and spices.
Just beautiful. Beautiful. And speaking of beautiful, the presentation here, you know, off the hook. So these lamb chops, I mean, you have brought them in
goodness.
I mean, look at this, Rita.
Oh my goodness.
The picture will be up on our social media, but talk about the lamb chops, especially how you're plating them up, because this is fascinating.
So this is actually, it's called a balti. A balti in India is actually a bucket. And the lamb chops, the idea of putting the lamb chops in the balti is you don't immerse the whole lamb chop into the sauce. So that way it's easy to pick. And as well as you get half the lamb chop without the sauce. So you get both the flavors, you know. Because the lamb chops are basically, we deconstruct the rack of lamb. And then we spice rub it with garam masala. And then we sear it in the tandoori oven. Mm. And then it's made in the sauce.
And it just comes, you know, just about, you just dunked in. And I'm glad you're calling it the lamb in the balti, because lamb in a bucket doesn't have that, you know, doesn't have that flair. Yeah, give us a couple of lambs in a bucket. Anyway, all right, so we're going to do a little tasting here of this lamb, but let's see if one of our listeners would like to get a gift card to come experience New Delhi Palace for themselves. Have you thought about a fun question that we can ask our listeners today?
Oh,
yes,
this is amazing, you guys.
We have.
Yeah, let us know. What's the question?
So, Matt, I would like to know who can answer which city did chicken tikka masala come from?
Oh, great question.
Where was it invented? I want to know the name of the city.
Chicken tikka masala originated from where? We want to know. And the first person that gets me a note with the right answer is actually going to get a gift certificate to experience New Delhi Palace for themselves. Again, what is the origination? Where did chicken tikka masala, where was it invented? Where did it come from? Where was it born? If you think you know the answer, send me a note right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors and chug some of this wonderful cream saffron. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about something fun happening up on the northwest side of town with your name, Oliver. That's perfect for this time of the year. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Saguaro Corners Restaurant and Bar has been serving Tucson's East Side and Saguaro National Park since 1956. But this is not your grandfather's Saguaro Corners. They have 22 craft beers on tap, handcrafted cocktails, and some of the best margaritas you will find in Tucson. Their menu has something for everyone, with more than 60 different choices, from great barbecue to creative burgers and sandwiches to a mouthwatering selection of Arizona comfort food. They feature live music four nights a week on their cool patio with misters and incredible Rincon Mountain views. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Come on down and give Saguaro Corners a try on the corner of South Old Spanish Trail and Escalante. It's worth the trip.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Rita Conley broadcasting live from New Delhi Palace, the cuisine of India. Now, Rita Conley, have you ever had lamb chops this in your life?
Not ever in my life. These are the best lamb chops I've ever had. They're crispy just a little bit, and they've got the wonderful sauce on it. Plus, you can hold them in your hand. These are amazing. They're so tender. It's like...
The best lamb chop. Okay, now when Rita Conley says these are the best whatever I've ever had in my life, you need to write that down, take a picture, post it all over the walls. You know, for years, Rita Conley was the food reviewer for the Tucson Weekly.
For 10 years.
And then she had to come in and, you know, wearing the Groucho Marx sunglasses, you know, she couldn't give herself away. But anyway, yeah, she has one of the most respected palates in all of the galaxy, and she thinks these are the best lamb chops she's ever had.
Just amazing how good they are. I'm going to take them all home.
In a bucket or in a ball?
I'll put them in my purse.
Thank you.
Anyway, Yatin, I love when restaurants get together and they say, okay, we're going to kind of change our menu seasonally. We want to freshen things up a little bit. You guys have just gone through kind of a menu refresh yourselves here.
Yeah, we just actually, a couple of weeks back, we got out a new menu. We added a lot of entrees. We got out a whole section, which is called Cream of the Crop. And around 12 to 15 entrees out here, two of them which you already tasted, Matt. So,
yeah, delicious.
Besides that, you know, there's wonderful prawn dishes and paneer dishes, and there's chicken dishes. So, you know, It's interesting. It's, again, picked out from different regions, giving North India a break. Yeah, otherwise it gets really monotonous.
Easy for you to say. I mean, we come here, there's nothing monotonous about what we've been enjoying. But anyway, you mentioned the buffet a couple of times, and we really should talk about your buffet because, I mean, my first introduction to New Delhi Palace was with your buffet, and the first thing that struck me is, there is real food on a buffet. And you don't see that very often.
Right. Matt, and I'm glad you asked the question. The buffet is actually designed with a very health aspect to it because, you know, mainly people working, they need to grab a quick lunch. They want to get back. So we plan it in such a way that it's flavorful, it's mild, and it's healthy. So we have approximately 18 to 20 items on the buffet, you know, with vegetables and lentils and tandoori chicken and samosas and lamb meatballs and chicken curry. So that takes it gives it a very balanced and nutritional, you know, meal to anyone coming, you know, for a quick lunch and getting back to work, not feeling heavy.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to sacrifice great flavor and a great experience because you're out on a quick lunch. You know, you know, sometimes it has to be in and out. You want to give people that authentic snapshot of what Indian cuisine is supposed to be about in a way that can get them in and out. Now, is it just you're just doing a lunch buffet then?
Yeah.
And the price?
It's $9.95.
$9.95, Rita Conley.
You can't go.
Lamb meatballs.
You can't
lentils.
There's no lunch you can get for $9.95.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
I probably would stay here all afternoon, though. I probably would never go back to work.
Now, are you offering the menu itself at lunch as well, or is it just a buffet? Okay.
The menu is also offered during the lunch.
And what are your hours here of operation at New Delhi Palace?
It's 11:30 to 2:30 for lunch, and then we take a quick break in the middle and reopen for dinner service at 5.
Okay, dinner service at 5 o'clock. Is that 7 days a week?
It's 7 days a week.
7 days a week here at New Delhi Palace. Now, not like there is enough to keep you busy here at New Delhi Palace. You are actually doing some things that are providing some refreshments for people on the smoothie side at Fruit Shack.
Yeah, that's a smoothie and a juice cafe that we own in Oro Valley. And again, same concept, all fresh organic fruits and used to make a bunch of smoothies. And actually, we just introduced a vegetable juice bar out there.
Oh, great. Yeah, so you're doing a lot of work with kale.
Kale, you know. Spinach, carrots, beet, parsley, you know. So, again, it takes care of a lot of stuff like detoxifying, purifying, blood purifier, you know, and just getting a whole bunch of greens into your system.
There is that medicinal therapeutic element to that as well. Now, where exactly in Oro Valley is Fruit Shack?
This is at the crossing of Oracle and First Avenue, right in the complex where there's Home Depot and Starbucks and Fry's and stuff like that.
And so you're just bouncing back and forth from Fruit Shack to New Delhi Palace.
Yeah.
And what about your hours up there at Fruit Shack? I mean, is that primarily
7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
All 7 days a week.
I see you guys at New Delhi Palace are getting into the whole Instagram game, and a lot of fun. I mean, again, your food tells the story. Your Facebook is a great community for people to understand a little bit more about this, a little bit more about you. And they can find New Delhi Palace on Facebook, on Instagram. I don't know if you tweet.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
You're on Twitter as well.
You're doing the whole thing.
Yeah, we're doing the whole thing.
I mean, Indian cuisine, I mean, think about this, Rita. The mango in the cocktail, you know, the sweetness of that drink is playing with the savory element of these sauces. So you get a little sweet, a little savory. The textural differences, right? I mean, you talk about that beautiful sweet pop of that lobster, the char on that lamb.
I ate all my lobster.
Well, you know, I haven't stopped talking since when we sat down. But anyway, New Delhi Palace, and we want to remind everybody to come on down here. Again, it is on Broadway between Kolb and Wilmot on the north side of the street. How long have you been open here at New Delhi Palace?
The restaurant's been open 30 years. It's the first Indian restaurant in Tucson.
The first Indian restaurant in Tucson.
I'm going to call you this. We'll set up a date before I would leave to make an interview with you guys, okay?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Rita.
So it took that long for Tucson to say, yeah, we do have, you know, and look, there is a great, Indian community here in southern Arizona. They're all like family to me, but we really need to provide them the authenticity that they, almost demand. And, you know, why did it take so long to get an Indian restaurant here in town? I mean, that's just it's fascinating to me. But then you start, you're the trendsetter, so you start, and others go. But come to the place that started the entire conversation here at New Delhi Palace. What's your address, Yatin, right here for us?
6751 East Broadway, north side of the street. Again, like you mentioned, on Broadway between Wilmar and Kolb.
Tuck back a little bit, so if you don't, slow down. No, others could fly right past us. Tuck back a little bit, but it's just... I'm thank you so much. It was very, very good food.
Thank you, Rita. I really appreciate it.
So much great food. Anyway, Yatin Parikh and Novel Parikh and Rita Conley always here helping to make this. Now, we're going to get Novel on the show next time. I mean, yeah, what does it take? Do I got to talk to her publicist or something? Or what do I got to do? I mean, she's the hardest person to get. Look, I got to go through these, PR people.
Well, no, you want Novel, you got to sign here.
and actually, Matt, she's the brains and she's the person who devises all these wonderful dishes.
Well, come on in here. You can meet her for yourself. Take a selfie with Novel here at New Delhi Palace. Anyway, thank you guys so much for hosting this delicious broadcast. Always so much fun seeing you.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be out on our website on themenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Rita Conley reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the menu live. Cheers. We'll see you at New Delhi Palace.
Yay!